Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is the Coast to Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch, and today we're going to find out, will he or won't he? I'm talking about Steph Curry and his knee. First it was his ankle, then he got hurt near halftime yesterday, and everybody's holding their breath. I'm really hoping that's just a sprained knee, and I actually think that he's going to be okay. He was running off the court, and he tried to play after the half, and he had a noticeable limp, and Golden State took the right precaution. They did the right thing. They did what they had to do. I was very impressed with their 121-94 shellacking of the Rockets, and it was tied at the half. So, I think what happened with Golden State is they got mad. They wanted to play for Steph, and they really ratcheted their defense up. And they outscored the Rockets 41-20. Klay Thompson went off. Iguodala went off with 20 points. Klay Thompson had 23 points. Draymond Green, as usual, 18. 6 assists and 8 rebounds. He was just facilitating, but he's hitting his shot. As he's hitting that shot up the top of the key or the elbow three, they're dangerous because now they got another weapon. And they just play with grit and determination. Even with Steph out, they won game 2. He might not play game 5. I think they're going to come out and annihilate the Rockets in game 5, whether Steph plays or not. The Rockets, they were cooking with Harden, and then he must have disappeared in the second half. He ended up with 18 points. He didn't go off like he did the other day when he had that push-off game winner, because he did push off. Even the NBA admitted it. Howard has played okay. He's played pretty decent. 19 points and 15 rebounds. But they're just not. Golden State's better. And Houston's going to break up that team after the Warriors take care of them. And that's going to be interesting to see what happens in the Clipper-Portland series. I'm going to talk about that a little later. But I'm concerned. Hopefully the MRI comes back negative and he can play. Steph Curry, they need him. I liked how the other players play. You get an Andrew Bogut who had 6 defensive rebounds playing, doing his role. And then Harrison Barnes had 12. He hasn't stepped up and played great yet. Harrison Barnes, when he gets going, watch out. And then you have the bench. Like I said, Iguodala at 22. And most states does what he has to do with jump shots. Even Brandon Rush hit a 3. Guard in the entire NBA is Sean Livingston. And they're in good hands with him. He had 9 points and 9 assists and 5 rebounds. And he's good. He's a smart player. He can cut to the basket. He can shoot. He's a very good post-up player. And even Ian Clark the other day had a good game in the game 3 loss. And they're just, Kerr does a good job of the next man up there, and it's working. And I believe this is if Curry is okay and he comes back within a week, they're going to be just fine. I still have them coming out of the West. If not, that changes everything. The next big game I watched was the Hawks and the Celtics. And this is a very intriguing series. So a lot of these series are blowouts, and they're just not intriguing at all. But this one's very intriguing because it started with game 3 when the Hawks were right in the game, but they had a stretch in the 5 minutes left of the fourth quarter where they just kept missing. Let me see how many layups they missed. I counted 5 missed layups in that 5. With 5 minutes left going on toward about 2 minutes, it cost them, and the Boston won. Isaiah Thomas, who's been fantastic at home, had 42 points. And he imposed his will. And in this fourth game, the Hawks came out, bust out to a 14-point lead because of Paul Millsap, who ended up with 45 points. Boston guts it out, grinds it out like they always do, getting steals, getting in the passing lane. Marcus Smart was huge, playing big time, defending Horford, defending Millsap. keeping him from getting 60 the way he was going. He ended up with 20 points, Smart, playing extremely hard, getting 8 big rebounds. Defensive rebounds were huge. He didn't allow the second chance points that the Hawks normally get. And this game really was 92-92 with about 12 seconds left. And Atlanta Hawks, typical Atlanta Hawks, typical, I always make fun, or I don't want to say make fun, but I always make light of the fact that Atlanta sports teams are terrible under pressure. And this really kind of made me look really good, which I didn't want because I really like Teague. But Teague dribbled, he had a couple threes. He had a decent game, but he got lit up by Isaiah Thomas overall. And he had an opportunity to win the game. He's dribbling, I'm counting, 10, 9, he's dribbling, 8, he's dribbling, 7, he's dribbling, 6, 5, 4, 3. Now with 3 seconds left, he wants to try to make a move. And then he loses the handle, doesn't even get a shot. It was the most idiotic possession I've ever seen. One of the most idiotic last game possessions where you didn't even get a shot off. Get a three off, drive in the lane. The lane was wide open. So it could have got around Isaiah and then either dished it or took it himself. Or do that little, has that little rainbow push shot that he's good at. And he didn't either. And I knew there was no way they were winning. Boston outscored him 12-3. Isaiah Thomas and Marcus Smart have imposed their will in this series. Now it goes back to Atlanta, and they have a lot of momentum. And Atlanta has a reputation for choking under pressure. And Atlanta's defense was good. They got a lot of steals. They played solid, but there's just little things they did that cost them. And Boston rode the home crowd. Atlanta rode the home crowd in Atlanta. Who'd I pick in Game 5? Boston could definitely beat Atlanta in Game 5, but I just – this could decide the series because Boston wins Game 5. They're getting Game 6. I think this is going 7. I think this is a 7-game series. Atlanta wins Game 5. Not a lot of confidence in Atlanta, but I'm going to figure it out. Schroeder and Teague play better at home. Boston gets Game 6, and it's a toss-up for Game 7. So that's wide open. The Cavaliers and Pistons, it was the way I thought it would go. 1, 2, 3, 4, and the series is over. What is encouraging for if you're a Cavalier fan is Kyrie Irving has been huge in this series. He had another big game, 31 points. He waves goodbye to the Pistons. I don't know. We don't need that. We don't need you waving goodbye to the Pistons fans. The first round. You want to do that against Golden State? You want to go to Oracle Arena? You want to go to South Beach and do that? I'll be more impressed. I'm not impressed. That just shows you have a bully mentality that you beat up an inferior team and you want to rub it in. Big deal. Not impressed. Impressed with your numbers. Very impressed with your numbers and how you played this series. You know, that's solid. You know, averaging 27 points a game in this series, but we don't need you waving goodbye to the crowd. That's just, come on. You're carrying on like a bully. Pistons in the first round. Okay. You're supposed to do that. The next round, you'll play Atlanta, Boston. Should be a little tougher. Boston would be a little tougher if they had Bradley. Boston could actually take them 6 or 7. Without Bradley, if Boston got in there, they would get 2. Just because of their sheer hustle, how hard they play. Atlanta will give them a game. Because usually LeBron James run the rush shot over the Atlanta Hawks. Boston's different. They'll, you know, and at Boston, they despise LeBron James out there. Because they've always had to play him, whether it's Cleveland or the Heat. And they've had a hatred for that LeBron. So that would be interesting if they end up playing each other. But is that series still yet to be determined? The Cleveland moves on, and they should be very encouraged that Kyrie Irving got his step back that I thought he had lost, and he's doing what he has to do, and he's playing great. But we don't need the extracurricular stuff. Just play ball, please. And the San Antonio Spurs, who you never see do, because they have a truckload of championship, and they know how to conduct themselves. When it comes to winning, they swept the Grizzlies 116-95. They won. They wore the Grizzlies, because of their injuries, are kind of reduced to a high school team almost. And the Spurs had no mercy, and I respect that. They did what they had to do. Kawhi Leonard was fantastic as usual, 21 points, you know. But Tony Parker was 16, and that is, if you're a Spurs fan, you're excited because you're just getting points from Aldridge and Kawhi. But now Parker, if Parker get in the lane, Parker could shoot. Parker could be Parker. Watch out. And, you know, the other guys contribute, and Boris Diaw, and, you know, the Spurs are the Spurs. I respect that. They respect their opponent enough not to rub, especially in the first round. It was a very businesslike operation over in San Antonio with Greg Popovich, and they did what they had to do. And I was very, very impressed. Now I want to talk about OKC and Dallas. You know, after losing that second game, and there was a little panic going to Dallas, and Dallas could be a pain in the neck. They went and walloped the Mavericks those two games. And Durant's been off, but it's been Westbrook. The other day they destroyed Dallas, and he had 25 points and 15 assists. And the one thing about OKC that has to be that makes you excited if you're rooting for OKC is – everybody else is contributing. Ibaka, who usually kills Dallas, plays good. And it's Kanter. 12 of 13 from the field, 28. Deion Waiters is playing really good. Steven Adams is rebounding. They're getting contributions because you can't just have Durant and Westbrook. And the other guys have picked Durant up. And I got to see, I've wrestled with this because logic is telling me the Spurs will beat the OKC and five because they're rolling and they're the Spurs. I got a funny feeling OKC might get them. I got this funny feeling that OKC might pull off the upset of all upsets. I like how the other guys are playing, and if they could ever get a game, because they're going to beat Dalton in game five. If they ever could get a game in San Antonio, that would be big. If they could ever get a game in San Antonio, that would be huge. One of those games, and then they could go back to OKC. They may have to have the mentality that we're going to have to get two games in San Antonio. We'll split in OKC 3 and 4, and then we'll go and try to get a game 5 in San Antonio and then try to close them out in 6. I just got this feeling OKC is going to find a way to see the Warriors, provided Steph Curry's okay and the Warriors get there. I just have the feeling it could be the Warriors and OKC. Logic is telling me I shouldn't even have said that. But my heart is telling me that OKC, because Durant might leave or Westbrook might leave, this could be the last hurrah. They're going to rear back and dig down deep and play a little smarter, play a little harder, and they're more athletic than San Antonio. They played them tough this year. They've beaten them in OKC. But I tell you, it'll be really, really hard. Now, the phone number here is 646-564-9874 if you want to call in. I know I'm talking about the the NBA. This week is the NFL draft, and it's going to be very interesting who picks who. I'll get into that a little later because I still have Clippers, Portland series, and no, yes, I want to do the Clippers-Portland series before I get it to Toronto and then the Heat. Lillard finally got some help, and that was big because he was able to have 30 points and play great. They won 96-88 over Clippers to make it 2-1 Clippers. McCullough showed up. He was big time in that series, and I love that about how McCullough played. And Plumlee was the guy who was the glue. I thought Plumlee made some plays when they doubled Lillard, and he kicked out Plumlee. Plumlee drove, gave it to Harkless, and I thought that stabilized the Portland. They turned the ball over a lot, and it allowed the Clippers to hang around when the Clippers didn't play great. Clippers were still in the game, actually took the lead, but then they fouled DeAndre Jordan, and he kept missing free throw after free throw after free throw. That is a problem. that is a problem for the Clippers because DeAndre Jordan does so much. There's so much good he does, but the fact that he doesn't make free throws concerns me. You know, that concerns me. A concern for if you're in Clipper land, you know, and McCollum had 27 points, and that was big. You know, 32 by Lillard. And Harkless was okay. Plumlee was really, really good. 21 rebounds. And that's big time. And that kept them stabilized. But as far as the Clippers, Blake Griffin, he's due. He didn't play good. You know, Chris Paul, he had 26 points and 9 assists. He'd probably rather have 9 points and 26 assists. He scores out of necessity. He could score. He doesn't really want to do that, but he knows when he has to, he'll do it. But the other players aren't. You know, Riddick had 5. They're doing a good job of running him off of the sweet spot. Jamal Crawford at 19. Pierce might be done. Green is not getting it. They need Jeff Green. Jeff Green could give them something. And Austin Rivers could do more than 4 points. They could be a problem, and they could wipe out the Blazers in 5. But I got a funny feeling the Blazers could take game 4 and put some pressure on the Clippers, and Clippers win 5 and maybe do this in 6 or 7. I think this is going to be an extended series, I have a feeling. But Portland's got to win tonight, and they got to turn the ball over less because you got to figure Griffin's going to show up, and maybe Jeff Green can give them something because Jeff Green has given them nothing. You know, and I got the Clippers and the Warriors advancing in a very interesting series. Very interesting series if they go. They're two teams that don't like each other. The Clippers were the last team to beat the Warriors in the playoffs a couple of years ago. We shall see. Now I want to get to the Miami Heat, the team I picked to come out of the East. Looking great, first two games, dominating, putting up around 70. At a half each game. They get beat up by the Hornets, 96-80. Marvin Williams had 12 points and 14 rebounds. They got contributions from everybody. I don't like how the Heat have played on the road the last month. They got to really tighten up because you got to say, for instance, you're going to play Toronto, you're going to be on the road game 1 or 2. Or you advance, you play Cleveland, you're going to be on the road game once. You got to win on the road. You can't just win in South Beach. You don't have the home court. You're not Golden State. And Golden State wins on the road, even though they have home court throughout. And I just didn't like and this is the key. If they could get the game close to game 4, they're fine. But in this game 3, not only did Williams have a good game, Al Jefferson was tough inside because he gave Whiteside trouble with his old-school smarts. But Frank Kaminsky had 15. Kimball Walker had 17. You figure that. But what you better do something. You better make sure Jeremy Lin don't hurt. He had 18. And Zeller had 12. So you got to make sure the role players don't go off. And make sure it's just Kimba and Al Jefferson. Because Kaminsky and Marvin Williams and Jeremy Lin and all these other players play good. And Zeller, that's a problem. And they have 30 wins at home this year. But the Heat, they have to keep the game close and then let D-Wade and Al Jefferson take the game over and keep the game in their hands and win. I know I have a caller here, right? No? I was hoping to get the NBA queen a call because she's a Golden State fan. I was hoping to give her some good news about Curry. The news hasn't showed up yet, but I like the Heat to win in 6 and then get ready to play the winner of Indy and Toronto. And Toronto split. I think they got what they wanted. Indiana is tough. The one thing about Toronto that they better adjust, there was no player or ball movement. It was kind of street ball. And it's isolation street ball. And you got Paul George and George Hill, two of the better on-ball defenders, guarding your two best guys, DeRozan and Lowry. So they might not go off. And they're going to need Valanciunas and they're going to need Ross. They're going to need ball movement, and that's going to allow Lowry and DeRozan to get off better. That was a problem because, you know, and this is game five, and then if you get to game seven, which I believe it'll be, you got to make sure you cash in on game seven. I think it's going to go seven. Toronto wins game five. Indiana wins game six. And then we go to seven. And you better hope Paul George don't go berserk like he did game one, because that's a nerve. I'd be nervous. A lot of pressure on them to get out of the first round. Paul George with the potential and a big game for one game. That's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing how that series shakes out. Atlanta, the Atlanta and Toronto series are really good. Miami, if you're a Miami fan, you don't want that to get good. You wanted them to get out to five. OKC and San Antonio and Cleveland, they're wiping out their competition. So it's been kind of a ho-hum playoff with the exception of Atlanta and the Indy series. And that's going to get even better because now the stakes are high with five, six, and seven looming. Okay, I'm going to go to baseball. And Baltimore is still in first place. They got beat up by Kansas City. Buck is due. Baltimore's been down, but Buck Showalter's too good of a coach. They're probably going to make a trade for a pitcher at the deadline because their lineup is sick. The Red Sox are scuffling. The Yankees I want to talk about. They're 7-10, and they're not really that good. I think Cashman, my only puzzling deal is, you should never have gotten Chapman. You should never try to build your bullpen unless you're a contender. You're betwixt and between. Either contend and add a pitcher like hypothetically, like a King Felix type pitcher to go along with Tanaka and Pineda, or stink and not get Chapman. And then sell off your older players and keep getting young, which will be okay, but you can't be in the middle. Cashman's in the middle trying to not save money and contend at the same time is not working, not in the American League East. And eventually the fan base is going to get pissed off at this guy. Now, it's understandable if you say, listen, we're rebuilding. You have enough championships. You got a cachet. You won in 2009. But to not do that and then – try to keep your older guys and then have a bullpen, have a world championship bullpen, but your lineup is older and ordinary and the starting pitching, you got to have a big-time one and a big-time two starter to win a championship. A shutdown, lockdown one. Yankees don't have that. They have twos and threes. And you're not going to win with that. And it's going to be frustrating watching the Yankees because – They're gonna be just good enough to get on your nerves to think they're a contender, and then it just and you see how awesome their bullpen is, and you're thinking if we get to the postseason, the bullpen, it's a 5-inning game, but you're not going to get to the postseason. You're not even going to see the bullpen as much because the starters aren't good enough. Pineda is up and down. He'll throw a one hitter, then he'll give up 16 runs. That's just his mental makeup is not good enough for me either. So that's the state of the Yankees. And then another problem, what's going to really make the Yankee fan base upset is how good the Mets are going to play this year. And the Mets are going to be the team, and they're going to be the sizzle in New York. Right now, both Chicago teams are doing good. The White Sox, Chris Sale is one of the best pitchers in the league. You know the Royals. Let me tell you something about the Royals. They're 12-6. They'll be in it because they got that championship moxie. But I want to talk about the National League East. Washington Nationals are playing good at 14-4. I do not trust them. The Mets are 10-7, and soon they'll take over. Within a month, they'll be in first place, and they're the team to beat in the National League. With that pitcher with Syndergaard and DeGrom, and now Matz struck out 10 the other day. Steven Matz is pitching good. With their pitching, they have good enough hitting. They're the team to beat, and I love my Cubbies. I still think they could get one more starter. It's almost being greedy with their lineup, but one more starter, because you got to think about the Mets or the Dodgers. You got to think about how we beat the Mets. Forget about the Nationals. Forget about any other team. You got to look at the Mets as the team you're going to have to beat. And the Mets are going to have all the attention in New York. And if you're a Yankee fan, you're used to having all the attention. It's not there. You're kind of an ordinary team, and that's going to – they're going to take it out on Cap. The fan base is going to start calling talk shows. They're going to start to put heat on Cashman, and they're going to be frustrated because of how he designed this team. But it's a long season, so you never know. Now, in boxing, Gennady Golovkin destroyed Dominic Wade. Another Gennady Golovkin easy win. It's not really his fault, but he hasn't had any competition. He called out Canelo, which he should. He did the right thing doing that. And Canelo could have fought him, but he fought Amir Khan, who's the lamest, most overrated fighter on the planet, maybe of all time. I expect him to beat a smaller Amir Khan. And then you got to fight Canelo. You can't run from this. If he runs, if his management team doesn't mention fighting Triple G, I'm going to come on in here and let Canelo have it, which I don't want to because I really like the guy. But you have to fight. You have to fight Triple G. That's the guy. That's the next fight. You're in middleweight. That's the next guy, dude. Triple G wants it. Triple G really does want to move up. I think he likes beating small guys. He likes staying at middleweight. The challenge will be to move up and maybe fight a Carl Froch. I mean, Ward was there. Now he's light heavyweight. You don't have to move all the way up. But if you win and then beat Canelo, you got to move up. You can't just keep beating these guys and thinking, oh, HBO's going to tell you you're the greatest. That's what they do. HBO will promote their fighters and shoot down other fighters. When I ever get a chance, I'm going to talk about what the foolish comment Max Kellerman said about how Pacquiao was the best in his era when Floyd beat everybody. I'm going to break that down. And there's a guy that has a show called Dante's Boxing Nation. He did a fantastic job. I just want to give him credit for how he broke that down. What happens is you have more of an alternative media who's trying to tell you the truth. And a lot of times stations are kind of promoting favorites and agendas, and there is none here. Not at this show, and a lot of other shows are starting to do that on the web, which is great. So Saturday, we're going to talk more NBA action, and the playoff picture will be clearer.